Isn't it great to worship in the presence of God? I have to say this morning I've been really blessed because I think I've been done out of my sermon this morning. A lot of things that have been said are what I feel that God has put on my heart. And it's just a really exciting time in the church, isn't it, at the moment? On Friday, I managed to trap one of my thumbs in the table. And 2 minutes later, I managed to drop the snooker table on my other thumb. So while I'm speaking, if I look like I'm putting my thumbs up to you or down to you, I'm not. It's just they're sort of stuck like that, just for now. But today is going to be a very simple message. We're going to be talking about a heart issue. We mentioned a little bit about heart. Chris shared his testimony. A little bit about his heart that sometimes it needs to change and sometimes we need to protect ourselves. Life in this country, I have to say, is quite a busy life. I travelled to Brazil with Luma a couple of weeks ago and we had three flights to where we had to get to, and then we had a 3-hour drive to Luma's parents' town. And it's a very remote town, it's a very quiet town and it's a very relaxed town. But I find in this country, when you come back here, everything is very hectic and busy and crowded. And I think sometimes we struggle to get, there's a lack of clarity in our lives and direction as to where we are going. We sometimes go through times where God is speaking, but often we can fall into the trap of feeling that God is distant and he's not on the move. We may even go through times where we doubt the existence of God. And even though we carry on attending church on a Sunday morning and worshiping, it can feel sometimes that there's a lack of purpose, peace, and sometimes a general point to our life. And as a result, we become dry and we can become a little bit stagnant. And I believe God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Okay? And I believe it's actually, there's a lot that we need to change in our own hearts. And we're going to look at Proverbs 6, and it talks a little bit about our hearts. It talks about God's plans. So Proverbs 16, verses 1 says this: to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answers of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. And I like this in verse 9. It says this: in the heart, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. You see, as humans, I think we fall into the trap very easily of complicating things in our lives. Sometimes we become overly intellectual, where we try to understand everything about God, who is a big God, he's bigger than all of us, and we always ask the question, why? We become over spiritual, where we try to waste time trying to find God in our cups of tea or the way that the wind is blowing us. Okay. Sometimes we become overly pessimistic, where we try to restrict God into our little boxes. We become like control freaks, where we try to reason with God. And like the cool kids, sometimes we try to dumb down what God is doing. And as I was preparing this message, I really felt that sometimes we overcomplicate the will of God. I think God has made things a lot more simpler for us than what we believe. We either try to rationalize, we try to add or even subtract from the plan that God has for us. Some of us here feel that God is finally on the move in this church. He's finally doing stuff in our lives. Is this exciting time to be in the church? Yeah. Well, let me tell you, God has always been there and he has always been on the move. The difference is now is that God is starting to change our hearts. God is starting to soften and mold our hearts into his plans and into his purposes. I feel that God today really wants to break down some barriers that we have in our hearts that prevent us from living out in the freedom that God has given us. Dennis Phillips spoke a few weeks ago, and he spoke very strongly and clearly about clearing out our hearts, making sure that our hearts were right. And I believe he wants to do that today to give us some direction. I think sometimes that we can overstep our obligation in our relationship with God, and we try to do the work of God instead of doing the work that God has intended for us. And sometimes we even do the work that isn't the will of God's kingdom. We get ourselves involved in things that shouldn't be done. Who would like in this room to live in the freedom of God with a clear-cut direction in their lives? Do you know what? I would love that. And I think it comes down a lot to our relationship with God. In a marriage, whilst love has an amazing part to play, there are vows that are taken, and it's like a contract that is sealed between two people, where the man has an obligation to the woman, and the woman has an obligation to the man. So where does our end of the bargain start and end, and where end of the bargain start and end? You see, purpose and direction plays a massive part in our life. It motivates us. It fuels us. Chris is certainly fueled at the moment. It helps us to get a sense of satisfaction and a reason for living. But it is really easy to crowd our lives with things God never made for us. Sometimes we think that each activity, whether it's a job, a ministry, or family responsibilities, has its own set of goals. But let me tell you today, there is only really one set of goals, and that is the kingdom of God. So many times we pray for God's will to be done, but actually we stand in the way of this. We become obstacles to God's kingdom by overcrowding our hearts with worldly desires. I spoke briefly about this the other day as to how we should approach. 18 verses 1 to 5 says this. At that, the disciples came and asked Jesus, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them, and he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Has anybody ever seen a child, when we've got the worship on, come to the front and they just love the worship? And it's just such a beautiful thing because they're fearless. They just love being in the presence of God. They have nothing that they have to worry about, particularly in their lives. And it's very clear, all that they want to do is dance. If we look at the word child, it actually comes from the Greek word paideon, I think that's how you pronounce it. And it literally means being a child. It could be figuratively speaking as an immature Christian. But it comes from the word paihis, which means a slave or a servant. You see, if we look at a child in Jesus' days, there were two fundamental ways that they lived their lives. The first was to serve their parents. And the second was to do it obediently and with a willing heart. How many of your children do that? Yours do? Okay. In the Bible, throughout the whole Bible, there is a lot of talk about obedience. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Obedience plays a really big part in our lives. And I actually think I could stop my sermon here, because I believe we expect sometimes to be doing more for God than just serving. I think serving is a really important part to our goals in life. Sometimes I think we can feel out the loop of God because we're not hearing clear and precise instructions. But today, guys, I want to tell you differently. Do you know what my Bible says? It's clear and it's precise. And it says that simply, we are called to serve. Who here has a job? Put your hands up if you've got a job. Well, I want to tell you something. In your job, I believe that you are called to serve and serve to the best of your abilities. Who here has a ministry in church? Not many people. Well, I think you are called to be in your ministry in church and do it to the best and serve to the best of your abilities. Who here has family? I believe you are called to serve your family to the best and to the best of your abilities. I have to say, my wife absolutely loves it when I do things for her, okay? But actually, it's not that she just appreciates it. Sometimes she needs it. Sometimes we have to serve people. I have a really easy job as a youth worker in this church. Do you want me to tell you why? Who here has children? Okay. Who here wants your children to go crazy for God? Okay, great. Well, let me tell you, I can put on the best youth events for your children, but unless you as parents are willing to serve your children, to lead a godly example, and to actually bring them along to these events, I don't think that past the age of 15 they will be in this church. Let me tell you, and it's not always the case, but there is a massive correlation between your children and your relationship with God. Their relationship with God and your relationship with God. Because they look at you. And if you don't have children, let me tell you something, that the young people here are looking at you. Other people are looking at you. I know that Charlotte Denscombe, for instance, started caring for Josh Johnson's mother. From then, she asked Josh if he wanted to come to the youth group, and Mark took him to the youth group. Since then, Josh Johnson, he's got no family that come to church. I take him to youth group every Friday. I bring him to church every Sunday. And now, even when I'm on holiday, he now starts coming to church by himself. And why is that? It's because people in their workplaces, it started with Charlotte, where she was working, what she was doing was just serving. And I believe this is the same with our relationships with our work colleagues, with the people that you meet in the street, okay? Relationship has a massive bit to do with it, but serving them has an even bigger part. You see, when we start to serve people, we start to see results. When we start to serve people, people start to ask questions. And when we start to serve, God can use us to change a nation. Matthew 20, verses 20 to 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of it. Of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at the left in your kingdom. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. Notice there's this authority above him. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared by my Father. When their 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was the ultimate example of a servant, wasn't he? Did he dictate things? You know, he didn't. Jesus was the kind of guy that washed people's feet. He did the things that he didn't have to do, but he did it anyway. He did as his God had commanded him to, as the Father had commanded him to. When you serve somebody, what you're actually saying is, I'm serving. If they've asked you to do something, you're submitting to their authority. If Dad asked me to preach, I'm submitting to his authority. Okay. And we're going to learn a little bit more about Jesus and what he did as being a servant. But before Jesus left, he told them that he was going to leave this earth. And he said that he wasn't going to be around, but he's going to send somebody who will. And let's look at this. And let's also look at the aspect of authority in the scripture. John 14, verses 26 to 31. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And we're going to come back to this in a minute. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you'll be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the Prince of the world is coming. He has no hold over me. And let's look at this verse 31. But he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father, which is the greatest commandment, and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come, now, let us leave. See, Jesus talks about our hearts, that they don't need to be troubled. Many of us allow our hearts to be shaped in a bad way, and we struggle with clarity and vision. And sometimes we become a little bit restless. There is an absence of peace. And who here, when they are in the presence of God, feels a real peace in their heart? It's amazing when you come into church. You know, I notice some people that they might not be a Christian might come into this building, and it might be a strange place to them, but it's a welcoming place. It's a nice place because the presence of God is here. We all know that when we serve, we are submitting to the person who we are serving. Even Jesus talked about how he had to serve and be obedient to the Father that had commanded him. Even Jesus had to submit to the will of the Father. Now, another strong correlation that I realize with the young people that stay in church and the ones that don't are those who can learn to submit to authority. Some young people have parents who do not submit well to authority. And some people are missing parents who should be there to exercise good authority. And this isn't always the case, but there is also a strong correlation of those young people that aren't there. But you know what? This isn't just teenagers that we're talking about. This isn't just children. Because I believe, as Christians, we can sometimes struggle to submit. In our hearts, we can struggle to submit things over to God. Many Christians around the world are saved by grace. They're going to heaven, but they fail to live out the fullness of God's plans by refusing to submit and simply do what has been commanded. Jesus shared that he loved the Father and he was an ultimate example to serving under God's authority. You see, I think in our lives, sometimes we expect more. We expect sometimes to be doing more than just serving. Do you know what? We go out and we do things. We sign ourselves up for activities. We sign ourselves up for a new job, a new thing to do. But sometimes, actually, God has just called you where you are with your giftings to serve. And I believe as a church, sometimes even people that work in a church environment, they're serving in a ministry, can complicate what they are doing because they are not just serving the kingdom of God. They might be serving in a ministry because they are serving the people and they wanted to please the people, but they're not wanting to serve the kingdom of God. Ultimately, if you're serving and you're giving out, you do need to receive something back. Many of us come into the presence of God and we feel like we've been refilled. Jesus pointed out that we should be like children. What's the one thing that we know about children? They are utterly dependent on their parents. When they become teenagers, they're utterly dependent on your wallet. Okay? And I want to ask you the question today, how many times do we do things in our own strength where we feed ourselves? We reward ourselves with gifts and lavish our love on ourselves because we think that we need that sustenance. How many times do we keep things to ourselves and refuse to share blessings with other people? You see, it's so easy to fall into the trap of doing things the wrong way around. We serve in ministries where we hope to gain some sort of satisfaction from what we're doing, instead of serving in those ministries, and through serving, then we will receive the sustenance from God to keep on going. Verse 27 says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And I have to say, I think there is a bit of a heart issue that we need to feel this peace of God. We need to feel like we are doing the right thing. But sometimes we are complicating our hearts. Many of us serve in ministries where we can constantly give out, but we're being refueled with the wrong fuel. It's like putting diesel in a petrol engine. And eventually, it just doesn't work. We dry up. And I want to ask you the question today, are we serving people in our ministries above serving God and his kingdom? And when I'm talking about ministries, I'm also talking about your workplaces. I'm talking about in your family. Let me tell you, put God at the center of everything and things start to come together. Matthew 23, verses 11 to 12 says this, "The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those that humble themselves will be exalted." I was amazed at the 24-hour prayer and praise and worship. Who was blessed? He is blessed. Do you know, I also found another source of sustenance at the 24-hour prayer and praise, other than God's presence, the amount of people on coffee. Who would have lasted the night without their coffee? Josh Johnson, one of our teenagers, said to me that he was going to stay as long as I was there. What I didn't tell him was that Luma was going to a wedding and was taking the car, so we stayed from the start till 2:30 in the morning. And I suggested to him beforehand that we bring a sleeping bag and a pillow. And he said to me, "Why do we need a sleeping bag and a pillow? I'll just stock up on energy drinks." And I want to suggest to you today that sometimes we're looking for sustenance in the wrong areas of our lives. We're constantly looking out for sustenance that we can receive instead of waiting for the surprise chef special that God has on the menu for us that day. Do you remember Elijah? Elijah was supplied with food every day by birds. He didn't stock up on some of his food and hope that, you know, ration it out for the rest of the week. He relied every single day for that sustenance. He relied every single day to receive that sustenance. Did he do anything else other than serve? Probably not during that period of time, but he just relied on God for that sustenance. One of the first times I preached on this scripture, and I think it was probably more of a blessing to me than it was to everybody else. But I'm going to read it anyway. It's Matthew 6, 25 to 34, and it says this. Do not worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Have you seen what worrying does to you? I'm starting to recede. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. You see, often our focus is wrong. We look at how we will survive for the next days, for the next weeks, for the next months or years. But that isn't actually our responsibility in the relationship with God. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. He gave a simple instruction, which was to seek his kingdom, and our role in the kingdom is to serve. In reply, God will provide all your needs. Not necessarily all your wants, because a lot of these things are just human greed. But he supplies all the sustenance that we need. You see, when we start to try and provide just for ourselves, what we're actually doing is saying, God, I'm taking control of this part of my life because I'm not able to fully serve you in this area. And we're assuming responsibility for something that God never intended us to have. This puts more of a pressure on our lives to have to do things, to have to perform things. One of the first things God did after creating man was to get him to serve. And in turn, God sustained him. In Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to take care of it. Very simple instruction. However, we all know that the man lusted after the tree of life for sustenance that wasn't ever intended for him. So easy it is when we're just going through the day of life to try and chase after things that we don't actually ever need, that we don't really want. We think we might want it, but we don't. Ecclesiastes 3 says this. I'll go quickly on this one. A time for everything. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. But what do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden of God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful, and get this, in his time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, in your heart, and yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Do you remember what I was saying before about having to over-intellectualize something, have to understand things? Do you know what? No one can fathom what God has done. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil, in all of the times that they serve. This is the gift of God. And church, today we can try and fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end in our lives. But what's the point? I believe today that direction is really important in our lives. It says in the Bible, without vision, the people perish. And sometimes we have to protect our hearts. We have to keep it clean. And we have to keep the focus on God. It's really important to spend time coming in the presence of God and listening to God. But don't get downhearted today if you don't hear clear and precise words from God. Because God has just called you to serve. Above all, he has called us to serve. I've got three S's for you this morning. The first thing is, I believe that God wants us to submit. The second thing is, I think he wants us to serve. And the third thing is, I think he wants us to receive only his sustenance. Nobody else's, no counterfeit. I believe he wants us to have his sustenance. I want to ask you the question, why did you come here today? When the worship was played, why did you worship God? Did you come here today out of habit? Did you come here because you wanted to experience God? And in itself, I don't think wanting to come and experience God is a bad thing. But I want to ask you the question, when you came to worship God today, did you come just to serve him? Did you come tired this morning? When the worship was playing this morning, did you give God your absolute everything and said, you know what, God, no matter what happens in my life, no matter what goes on, I will serve you. I might be having the rubbishest time in my life, but no matter what, I will serve you. King David in the Bible was a guy that was a man after God's own heart. He chased after God's own heart. And do you know what we know about this guy? He loved to worship. He wrote a whole book in the Bible on it. Okay. This guy loved to worship. And do you know what was interesting about this guy? From a young age, he looked after sheep. He served his father. He submitted to his authority. And from a young age, God developed him. Even after he had defeated Goliath, not in his own strength, but in God's strength, God was still using him. God was still doing things with him. Before he was even king, God was still developing him. And even as a king, God was still developing him. But more than anything, he might have been a king, but he was a servant of God. And I want to challenge you today. Are you a servant of God? I believe some of us, when we first become Christians, we have the best intentions to serve God. But sometimes the fullness of life sometimes can wear us down. It can bear us down. Our focus on why we are doing what we're doing can get blurry. And I want to ask you today, is your focus to serve God? I'm going to ask the worship band to come up. We've got time to worship God before we leave. Don't worry about your cooked dinners. Ben and Vicky have told me that if people want to stay and worship for as long as I can, they'll be here. Ben will book his week off. And I want to ask you today, if at times you've been in danger of your heart not being quite right with God, it might be that just every day you face the difficulties of your heart not being in line with God. I'm going to ask you to stand and worship God. If you'd like to stand now, you're very welcome to. And I'm going to ask that you, if you want more of God, if you want to just get right with God this morning, I'm just going to ask that you put your hands out in front of you. And the first lot of people I want to pray for this morning is if you have never really served God. Robin spoke at the AGM how we're going to have ministry fairs where you can see what is going on and you have the ability to be able to get involved. And I just want to challenge you, if you've never been in a place where you've been able to serve, just to start to think about how God can use you. Everybody in this place has gifts and talents. Where you don't know where to start with that. If you don't know what your gifts and talents are, ask your friends because they'll know. And I just want to ask that you'll just start to receive the Holy Spirit now. He will sustain you and he'll give you the substance that you need in your life to carry on. He'll give you the sustenance to get started. He'll give you a new fire. He'll pour petrol on you and he'll light that flame and you will burn brighter than you have ever shone before. The second lot of people I want to talk about is those are people that have served. You've served in ministries and you've given out and you've given out and you've given out, but sometimes you've got a little bit dry. Do you know what times I've been there? It is difficult. Do you know some of you work really hard just to put food on the table for your family? And it's hard and it's difficult. But I want to challenge you today to realign where you're looking for your sustenance. Look for God and just serve where you can serve. Do you know what? I believe God is not a draining God. I believe God is a God of blessing. He wants to bless you more than you've ever been blessed before. And now is the time to receive that blessing. And finally, I want to pray for those people that are in ministries. Those people that love God with everything they've got. And they're on a high with God. They're on a mountaintop. And I want to pray for you guys today that you guys will not lose focus. Let me tell you, if you are in a good place today, now is the time that you need to start giving out that blessing to people. We are in a church that is a very generous church, but I believe that we are in a church that could actually give more. I believe we're in a church and we're in a position now that things are going to start accelerating, which we can give out more in our ministries, in our lives and the people around us and the people in this town. The message that we have in our hands, the message that we have in our Bible is a good message. It is a message that changes people's lives. It's a message that changes people's hearts and it's a message that gets people to heaven. It is a good message. Do not hold that message and do not share that message. That message needs to get out. And if you need the boldness to do that, ask for it today. Put your hands out and say, Jesus, Father, I want more of you. I want that boldness to go up and do things that I have never, ever, ever, ever done before. Church, today, some of us, it gets really easy when life is difficult to just complain. But God hasn't asked you to complain. He has not asked you to perform the miracles. He has not asked you to do anything other than just serve this morning. Life is very simple. He made you to serve. And I believe that you guys can serve in this place. And I believe that you'll find sustenance that you have never, ever found before. So, dear Lord Jesus, I just pray as the worship band play. Lord, we may not hear from you, Lord. We may not know the full presence of you until we get to heaven, Father. But Lord, we know that you are a good God. Lord, we know that you are a big God. And Father God, I pray as we worship now, Lord, that we'll give you our everything. Church, let's start to speak up and praise Jesus. Jesus, I just want to thank you for what you've done in my life. Lord, you have taken me from rock bottom and you have changed my life around. You've helped me with my family, my finances, my job. Father, in every area of my life, because when I have committed to serve you, Lord, you have done amazing things. And Lord, just because of who you are, I want to just praise you. I want to serve you. Jesus, I want to go back to those days when I first committed to you and I was on fire for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to go back to those days where I was so excited that I couldn't help but jump up and down when the worship was going. I couldn't help but share that word to the cashier who didn't really want to know. But Father God, as I worship now, I'm going to worship with everything. So church, come on, let's worship. Jesus, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. If you have the ability to speak in tongues today, speak in tongues. If you never spoke in tongues today, speak in tongues. Jesus, have your way. Oh, Jesus, have your way. Amen.